This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, Fitz and Tom back on the Fan. 12:02. Todd Haight with the top story of the day. The king story of the day. And it's about the Knicks. But I wouldn't feel right. I can't just jump right into that without, you know, sending some condolences and acknowledging Al Troutwick, who was a great guy. I loved Al Troutwick, man. Al Troutwick was around a lot. You know, you think about the that soundtrack of youth, and certainly Rizzuto when I was a kid with the Yanks. Al was doing so much stuff at the Garden. You know, I mean, Al was doing the Yankees. And there were years where, of course, he was always involved with the Knicks. But there were years where I would say maybe, and I could be off on this, I guess I could just double check. But I just found out about this. Maybe 3, 4, 5 years where I felt like Al did a lot of Yankee games. Dwayne Statz, you know, that Tony Kubek, like that crew. Matter of fact, Al Troutwick was on the call when Don Mattingly in 1995 hit a home run out in Toronto in the regular season finale. It hit the foul pole, actually clanked right off of it, that sent the Yankees to the playoffs with Buck Showalter, and Mattingly finally got a chance to play in the playoffs, which, by the way, hit 417 because he's Donnie. But that was Al Troutwick on the call. And, you know, the thing about Al, a lot of these people, they pass away. Unfortunately, time stops for nobody, and life is cruel. He was a young man still, 68, I believe I saw. Sahaf, 68, huh? Yeah, and he just kind of disappeared for a while, and you just knew, and it was very abrupt. You knew something wasn't right. But I actually sat next to Al Troutwick for, I'd say, a good 4 or 5 years doing the Knicks, when I was doing a lot of the Knicks radio pre and post stuff, is when Gus and John Andres were doing the radio. And I was doing the pre and the post and the halftime on the radio. And I would sit, you know, basically right along the baseline. Frank Isola was there. Alan Hahn, who I really like Alan a lot. I saw his post. He knew Al really well. Alan was there. And Al Troutwick would sit literally right next to me. And he'd go out and he'd go to the tunnel and he'd burn a heater. And he'd come back and he could smell the smoke. But he was just such a good guy. Funny. You know, really funny and not afraid to push it and raw. Just a guy's guy. And I'm going to miss him. I haven't really thought about Alan a little bit because he's been off the radar, the public radar for a bit. But when I go back to that time, you know, which was fairly early in my career, and I was definitely impressionable and I didn't really know my way around the Garden. And to be completely honest, when I first started, I was nervous, you know, going in there to do coaches interviews with Isaiah and trying to learn how to do. I had no idea how to do that stuff. And he showed me a lot. So rest in peace, Al. He didn't have a long, 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 long life, but I know he stuffed a lot into it. Played a lot of golf, traveled, enjoyed his good reds, good wine, good guy. Really, really, really good man. So rest in peace, man. That stinks. BT and Sal, 888-808-1019, inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I promise you this. If Al Troutwig was still doing the Knicks stuff, he would keep it real. And he would get on the broadcast, you know, to wrap up his postgame stuff. And he would blast this team. Because this team looks so different from last year's team. 142-105 on Friday? Are you kidding me? After all the criticisms about how the Knicks can't beat the Thunder, can't beat the Celtics, can't beat the Cavs, here you are, getting a little healthier, chance to show the world, all right, it's, you know, it's almost playoff time, we're going to get our act together. You get absolutely stomped. Get stomped. And then, all right, let's fire this thing back up. Chance to prove that that wasn't an anomaly. National TV, 1 p.m. tip. You know, I'm obviously doing the St. John's game, but I taped this on DVR, even though I knew the result. First time I saw the score was at the end of one when I checked from the Garden in between the stoppage doing St. John's. And I'm like, are you kidding? They're losing 38-19 after what happened in Cleveland? And then it's just like, it just reinforced what I felt for a while. And I haven't quite communicated it this aggressively because I thought it would have been unfair. It would have been a little irresponsible. You know, he got some new players, some new, really new, big new pieces here. And it doesn't happen overnight. There's such a thing as chemistry. But, I mean, it's March, basically. And not only is this team not showing signs of getting better and reaching the levels that we all thought that they would easily get to. Like, we almost took it for granted. Ah, Knicks. 60 wins, 58 wins, Eastern Conference Finals. Knicks, it's a wrap. Let's go. Knicks. I'm not even sure they get out of the first round. But I've been consistent with this. And I have not liked what I've seen from the opening week. Again, didn't go nuts, but I did point it out. Hey, once we're done with the Rodgers stuff and the Jets stuff, once we figure out the Giants are going to retain Shane and Dable, and once they, you know, cut Daniel Jones, and once the Yanks and the Mets are done with the postseason, whatever that is, oh, don't worry. I'll be circling back to our Knicks because I love them. But I do not like this group. Forget about love. I don't even like this group. They've taken a big step back. Where is the pride? Where is the coaching? Where is the toughness? Too accepting. This is the biggest problem. Like, they're too accepting of getting their asses handed to them. Eh, it's all right. And even games that they win, like giving up a buck 30, like teams that they should mop the floor with. You know? Some of these, the Pistons, who I know are more competitive, but forget about the Thunder and the Celtics and the Cavs. They let the Pistons come in here twice and win at the Garden. So where is this team going? You tell me. How am I wrong? I hope I'm wrong. How am I wrong? Also talking St. John's, we'll find out in a little less than an hour, where will they ascend in the latest top 25? So right now they're 10, right? 10 in the AP, 9 in the coaches. The top 5 didn't lose. They're not going there. Some people think they'll hit 5. I don't. I would 7. I'm going to say 7 is my guess. 7. And they've got a chance to win the Big East regular season crown. I mean, a matter of fact, if they don't at this point, it's a colossal implosion, which I don't expect. They've got a real chance to win the Big East tournament. And they've got a chance to be a 2-seed and really mess around and do some real damage. The St. John's brand, which was tarnished and shot for decades, is not only back, but it seems like it's back. I'm not going to say like the Final Four team with Louie and Mully, but anything even past Jarvis, and we love that team with Postel and Ron and Bootsy. Love that team. If Rick stays for 5-6 years, which I believe he's not going to a different school, it's just how long does he want to do it? St. John's has a chance to, like, this could be the norm. That it should be. It's the Big East at St. John's. All right, let's get back to you guys here. Rich, South Jersey. What's cooking, Richie?
Hey, BT, how are you?
All right, Rich, what's happening?
Good. I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna say something and then skip over it.
Okay.
For the time being.
Okay.
You opened up you don't rant, but you opened up your rant about the Knicks with the lack of fire, the lack of hustle.
Yes.
Okay. Now I'll get into my little talk. Number one, the two best players are defensive deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to rely on the other three players.
You're right. Brunson and Cat. You're right. Keep going.
Last year, they had Hartenstein. He was the fire along with DiVincenzo and Hart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they all, and the whole team were behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bridges, to me, for five draft picks, is like the Gleyber Torres of the Yankees. He doesn't look like he's really going all out. Hartenstein, $29 million was a lot. But if we take away Bridges, 21, and who knows what it will be for the next 5 years after that,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty close. Hartenstein is starting for the best team in the NBA.
Listen, you don't have to tell me about Hartenstein. I was on the Hartenstein bandwagon from day one, from minute one. There was nobody that was a fan of Hartenstein before me. Nobody.
Yeah, and so... I think Orlando will catch them before they'll catch the teams on top of them, because any team with long, athletic, young guards, especially,
yep,
just demolish the Knicks.
Yeah, it's a good observation, Rich. They get right into the paint. You're right, man. You've been watching the game for a long time. You don't have to be. Oh, God. I'll throw an old name out there. You don't have to be Alvin Robertson. that's about as old as it gets. I think he won the DPOY in like 1984 for the Spurs as a guard. You don't have to be, or even like a Byron Scott or a Michael Cooper, but it can't be a turnstile. And the Knicks up top, they are soft on D. Not, I would say a lot, maybe the soft's not the right word. They're just not good enough. I don't think it's a softness. I think Brunson tries. I just think he's physically limited defensively. Yeah, and then he starts to look big picture, like, all right, so Carl Anthony Towns, who's a very good player, some nights he's great, but his deficiencies, they show up against tough athletic teams. And he's making big money. I mean, he's making 49 this year, he's making 53 next year, he's making 57 the year after that. Then he's got a player option in 2027 for 61. Jeez. $61 million. So he'll be, what, 31, 32, 30. He'll be around 34. And, I mean, depending upon how healthy he is he going to definitely opt out of that? I don't know. It's not like he's 30, and he might not, you know, if he's banged up, if he's hobbled around. So you might be on the hook for the 61 mil. And then you got OG. OG's making 36, and then 39, and then 42, and then 45. And then he's got a player option in 2028. Then you got our boy Jalen, who we all love. We love him. Took a pay cut. Jalen Brunson slander. I can't have it. But I can't. I could point out he's not a great defensive player, but I love Brunson. I always will. But he's making, and this year he's making 24. But then, you know, 34, 37, 40. And he's got a player option in 2028. I mean, it's years down the road. I mean, they're locked. Even Josh Hart, he's on the books through 2027, 2028. So part of my frustration is not that I'm some greedy, entitled Knicks fan who, oh, what, we're not going to win 65 games this year and just waltz our way to a championship? That's not my mindset with any team. I think if you know me, you know that. My problem is I don't know where it's going to get better based on the players they have, based on the finances I just referenced, and based on the draft picks they gave up in the Bridges trade. Let me get Anthony along.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Island, Ant, what's going on, bud?
Hey, BT, always a pleasure, my friend.
What's cooking, man? How you doing?
I got some points here. I'll try to fire through them first. St. John's, thank God for St. John's right now for basketball. That's all I can say. As an alum, it's quite amazing what Rick's doing. That's my first point. Second point, let me ask you this,
hold on a sec. So are you the kind of, I find this very curious. If you called up about St. John's, I do want to get this answer from you. Are you the kind of fan, and there's some, even though not many, who were there no matter what, or did you check out and come back? Like, what's your St. John's fandom like? I have no idea.
Listen, I went to St. John's. I went to I went there. I graduated from there. Ron Artest was there at the same time I was.
Gotcha.
Omar Cook, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I've always been a St. John's fan.
Got it.
We've always wanted him to get back to this. I think anybody that's from Queens, I'm from Queens originally, yep. So you've always wanted him to get back. But the heartbeat of the city as far as basketball goes, for me anyway, it's always been the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem with the Knicks is this. I think they're setting up Tibbs to be the scapegoat after this year, and I'll tell you why. Okay, we've all given Leon the credit he deserves, and to be honest, he does deserve the credit. What he did with the Knicks, but Mikal Bridges is a turnstile.
Yeah.
And I called you last year. I've called you a couple of times and told you, hey, the Knicks really need OG. And look, OG was a hit with the Knicks. I never thought Mikal was the guy, and I think if you would have taken those five first rounders and packaged up, let's say, Deuce, I know Deuce is the guy off the bench, but, you know, the guy they needed was Booker from the Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm.
You need a guy with an attitude.
Yeah.
Who will get in your face.
Mm.
And they don't have that.
No, they
and
don't.
I know Dante was a good piece, and he played his heart out. But Dante couldn't tie up Booker's shoes. Let's be real. If we're talking about basketball, and I know you know about basketball.
He could. No, Booker's just a much better player. But at least Dante had some edge, some fire. Like, he was kind of a, you didn't know what you were getting. And that's a good thing.
Yeah,
like, it keeps the other guys into it as well.
Yeah, I agree. But the thing is, my last point is this. Mitch is not the savior.
Let's I know.
Knicks fans, people that call like, oh, you want to, you know, Mitch is going to, well, Mitch, listen, if Karl Anthony Towns can't guard anybody and Mitchell Robinson has foul problems, when he had someone like, I don't know, somebody that could play some sort of defense at power forward, what makes anybody think these guys are going to turnstile Bridges, turnstile Cat? This guy, Robinson's going to, he's going to foul out in 5 minutes.
Oh, boy. So you're with me. So we're kind of seeing the same thing. That's the bottom line.
And the last thing is this. If Tibbs does go, which I'm going to be honest with you, man, my gut just tells me he's going to be the scapegoat.
Yep, me
right?
too. Me too. I'm feeling it. Yep.
The guy that they're going to go get is the guy they just released, which is the Johnny Bryan or
Johnny Bryan.
Yeah, that's the guy that's going to come in. But listen, my last point, and this is my last point. Brunson's dad being there is to me is turning into a problem because he's the one that pushed the whole narrative for Mikal Bridges.
Interesting.
And that's why Dante had to leave. Because Rick Brunson probably told him, like, hey, go get Mikal and let's trade. We could get rid of Dante because Mikal will make up for it. Mikal can't shoot for whatever reason. And Mikal can't defend. So what do we, you know, I know first round picks that don't mean anything because at the end of the day, if you're going to be a good team, those picks are in the 20s,
uh-huh.
So I don't care about the picks. But if I could have gone and gotten Booker or let's say even Giannis, for example, who wants out of Milwaukee now.
Who is Giannis? I thought it was Giannis.
Oh, Giannis. I'm sorry. Yeah, Giannis. Yeah, Giannis.
For a guy who knows his basketball, like, why are you dropping Giannis?
Yeah, Giannis. My bad. Giannis.
Gotcha.
You know, those picks could have been used for that. So I think, unfortunately, right now, as far as the whole Boston Celtics thing, I think we need to stop. That's another thing as a fan base. Let's stop saying we could beat the Celtics.
No, I ain't saying that. I haven't. I'm not hearing that in a while. A good call, by the way. Beat the Celtics. You can't even compete with the Celtics. Let me give you some sobering numbers pertaining to the Celtics to just show you how much the gap is and how wide the gap is. So in three games this year, the Knicks have been outscored by the Celtics 381 to 318. That is 21 points per game in terms of margin. All right, that's pretty obvious stuff. Well, let me extend it beyond the Celtics and give you something else that'll frame it how the Knicks do defensively against elite teams offensively in the NBA. When the Knicks play a top 10 team in terms of offensive efficiency, the Knicks are the 29th rated team in terms of defensive deficiency. I know that's a lot of stuff that I just threw at you. What does it mean? It means when they play somebody who can score, Knicks suck. That's what it means. That's what it means. It means they're not even close to being average against good offenses. It means good offenses do whatever they want against the Knicks. Whatever they want. When they play a top 10 offensive team, in terms of efficiency, the Knicks are rated 29th. In defensive efficiency. I mean, it's gross. I mean, I'm not doubting that Mitchell Robinson can maybe get that number, if he could stay healthy, from like 29 to 19 or so. Is that even good enough? I don't think it is. I don't think any team's won a championship. I think Denver was like 15th in defensive efficiency. So it would take a lot of, you know, bucking the trends historically. Knicks aren't winning a championship. They're just not. 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan. A little Johnny's Love. A lot of Knicks questions here. I got to play you that Sean Manaea piece, and I definitely want to get into Dominguez and why I do think there's been a bit of an overreaction to what he's doing in the outfield and what he can do this year. But we'll get all to it, and I got you till 2, and then it is Evan and Tiki next on The Fan. Hoff, have you ever been to Steinbrenner Field? The facility
not yet,
out
no.
there? Okay. I have been, I think the Mets' tradition, is that what they call it now? Or whatever they call it now. I went to the Mets one years ago. I haven't been to the Mets in a while, but I've been to the Yankees fairly recently. Not even during spring training. I was down in Disney on a big family trip, and we were somewhere, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 miles on the beach outside of Tampa. So I took my son my nephew to a game. And Dominguez was actually playing, you know, and it was just a, you know, middle of the summer night and nobody was really there. But I had a chance to walk around Steinbrenner facility. It was great. Like all the monuments, or I should say the plaques when you pull up. But they have added so much to it to make it, obviously, up to Major League Baseball specs here with the Rays playing the home games. I saw something too on YouTube. If you guys want to check it out, like it looks totally different, and it's going to be wild watching the Yankees play the Rays. And the Yankees are visitors. I'll tell you what, though, that's going to play nicely, even more so for Bellinger, you would think, and potentially Dominguez, and potentially for Wells, because George Steinbrenner Field down in Tampa is 314 down the right field line. It's the exact, you know, spec of Yankee Stadium. So, you know, some of these Yankees do some damage. That's going to be a very appealing and an extra enticing, you know, target because the Yanks will play there against the Rays as well rather than the Trop. All right, let me get to Dominguez here. We'll get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Knicks, Johnnies, who are just absolutely crushing it. God, Patino has been a savior for this program. It's ridiculous. And even Sean Manaea's injury. And I want to play something for Manaea coming up in a bit. So, all right, Dominguez, the lost one in the sun. All right, I think there's two ways to look at this. You could overreact and say, see, he can't play the outfield. He's a disaster. He's a mess. He's this. He's that. He can't play left field. There's no way. Did you see him muff those two plays a year ago? Yeah, I saw him. I did. I'm not saying he didn't muff them. He did. They were pretty ugly. And I saw the pop-up over the weekend, which he clearly lost in the sun. Now, guys, just to be fair to Dominguez for a moment, losing a ball in the sun, I know, you know, have eye black, have the Oakleys, shield your eyes with the glove. I get it. I know. But it's not that easy all the time. And that is a glaring sun, and it's also ricocheting off the structure of the stadium. So that's tricky. And you want to make that out to be an inability to play left field, just a defensive deficiency? You can do that. I'm not doing that yet with Jason Dominguez. I'm not. However, to be fair to the possible conversation, I'm going to push it further and say, well, let's give him a pass on the sun getting in his eyes, but what happens if Dominguez really is a problem in left field? I mean, he's just taking taking the wrong routes, you know, just not looking the part in left field. Well, what do you do? Well, a couple of things. I think it depends how he hits. If Dominguez hits a ton and he's okay in left field, not great, okay, there's a couple of head scratchers, but he's hitting, you got to suck it up and you have to hope that he gets better as the year goes on. If he's hitting and he's awful in left field, like where it's just unavoidably problematic, well, now you're going to have to search for some options. And you know, now if he's not hitting and he's awful in left field, well, then he's going to have to go down to the minors at some point. But I think what you do is you just, you know, take this, you know, week by week, month by month. I said to Sal the other day, I got to see at least 200-something uninterrupted at-bats for Dominguez. You know, I've got to get, you know, all the April, all the May. I would like to get to the end of June before I make a definitive move on him. Like, if he's really not hitting well, I'm still running him out. Now, I'm going to bounce him around the lineup. If he's not hitting, I do think he'll start as a leadoff hitter. But if he's not hitting there, you drop him, you know, 6, 7, depending upon how bad it gets. I've got to get answers on Dominguez. I can't sit here again and hear about the Dominguez hype and not let him play. Like, if he's hurt, that's one thing. And if he's completely overwhelmed and it's just so obvious that it could be detrimental to his growth, well, I still have to give him a long runway here, but maybe not into June. But I do think as long as he's hitting and he's having a rough time in the outfield, I think what you could do is you can put, on certain days, you could put maybe against a righty, maybe a tough righty, put Bellinger at first, at that point, you want to get Dominguez in center. I don't love Grisham. Do you really want to see Grisham in left? I would say put Grisham in center, but the whole object is if he's struggling to get Dominguez out of left here. So you could give Goldie a day off. You can leave it against the lefty, whatever. With Dominguez being a switch hitter and Bellinger going to play every day anyway, you could have Goldschmidt DH. You could put Bellinger at first. Like, there's ways to navigate this if it really is a big, 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 big problem. I don't think it's going to be the problem some of you are making it out to be. I know, you know, you're probably not locked into the Yankees spring training. Certainly when you look at the lineup. Here's what I do. I look at the lineup, and I'll do this for the next 2 weeks for sure. All right, I want to see where Dominguez is hitting. I want to see where Volpe is hitting. I want to see where, once Judge starts playing, where's Judge hitting in relation to Bellinger? Like, where's Wells? Like, there's a couple things I want to see. But, you know, now you still get lineups where there's 3-4 guys who aren't going to be on the opening day lineup or the roster. So I don't get too wrapped up in it. But I know many of you, too, are not necessarily glued to yes now. So how do you catch the Dominguez, you know, mess up in the sun the other day? You see it on social media. And once you see, oh, my God, look at that. And then it gains more traction. Oh, Dominguez still on skates out there. He stinks in left field. Going to be a problem. And then it just gains momentum. And then suddenly you've got the narrative, even though it's basically two games or whatever it is into the spring, and Dominguez is a butcher in left field, and he's never going to get the job done. That's ridiculous. Now, you might be right. I'm just not taking that mindset now. He's just too fluid, too explosive, and too good in center to not at least be passable in left field. So that's the way I see it. Hoff, you seem to be a little more concerned about Dominguez in left field, pointing out, did you see this video? Did you see that? No, I didn't see that video, because I don't care to see all the videos. But you seem to think that Dominguez is going to be a mess out there.
Yeah, he looks more like Aaron Hicks than Juan Soto, I'll tell you that much.
Remember when, even when you don't want, you're still pulling Soto into it. Remember when Hicks threw his arms up? When he stopped running after that ball, that was a couple of years ago. Remember that play in the outfield? God almighty.
It basically looked, and then he put his face in like the sidewall. He looked like the end of Blair Witch Project.
You know, by the way, that was an overrated movie. Did you like that movie?
Yes.
That was awful.
No, it wasn't awful.
Awful. Awful.
Oh, come on.
No, go ahead. You can volley back.
It was
terrible.
A fantastic movie for the times. It got people. It was when the internet was at like the beginning stages, so people thought this was real.
Yeah.
They went to the movies. I was like a 17-year-old kid, so I was like getting amped, like, yeah, this is real. This is crazy. I can't believe what just happened. And it was the first, like, you know, handheld camera type of film, and it puts you on a journey. Now, I understand it was a little slow.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
But if you bought into it, if you're one of, like, you're like my wife. My wife can't buy into any movie I watch. But if you could just buy into that logic and just buy into the two-hour film, you'll appreciate it.
All right, so if I go back and I watch it and I adopt that mindset, and I say, well, it was the first with the camera and I should give it more room and I should be more appreciative and it was a pioneer, are you going to tell me I'm going to walk away saying, wow, what a movie?
Well, the ending was great.
I just didn't like it. And you got to remember, at that point, I was still a big horror buff. Loved, even, you know, not anymore. I don't like him anymore.
Because they're all very gory.
Well, they scare me now. I told you, they scare me now. I don't like them now.
By the way,
what?
I'm going to change it real quick.
Yeah.
I went to a Broadway show with my wife last week.
What'd you say?
Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
I can't stop talking about it because it actually was awesome, and it was really gory.
Gory?
Yeah.
On stage?
Yeah. It was kind of sick. Like, I'm like, I want to go see it again.
You would, you demented, twisted soul.
I am. My wife's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know, but that was good.
What is the premise again?
It's about it's basically about an old silent film movie star who's trying to break into Hollywood now, but nobody wants her, and she's got some issues. And she finds somebody that's going to write the perfect script to get her back into Hollywood.
And this is right around the 1920s, 30s-ish?
Yeah,
set around exactly. There. Okay, yeah. Got with the transition to the... all right. You know, I was driving... I was driving back from the Garden yesterday from St. John's. I saw a billboard not too far from the Lincoln Tunnel. Do you remember the movie The Outsiders?
Of course.
Yeah, you remember. That came up with us.
Great movie.
Sal never saw it. Phenomenal.
Well, he's a loser. But... And by the way, Sal's not here. We can make fun of him.
We can. How do you think he's doing, by the way?
Oh, he's miserable right now.
No!
It's 12:37 on Disney time. That means he's been up for at least 6 or 7 hours at the park, running around, probably trying to find Winnie the Pooh. Can't find Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Probably having a
I don't
a
think he's
day.
Miserable. I'll tell you what. The difference is he's got one child. You have three. I have two. It's not piping, steaming hot. It's got a little nip in the like 60s, you know, in the 50s at night. So it's maybe a little chilly for the kids. And his wife, or for his child and his wife, I think he's taking this like a trooper. I honestly do. I think he's doing well.
Okay, so the moment he's got to sit on the line for more than 20 minutes.
Well, did he get the speed pass?
Well, but you can't get one for every ride, can you?
No, and you've got to be very strategic. And unless you know how to do it, like my wife became pretty good at this, and I know your wife does as well. We would get the speed pass, and we would look at, you know, whatever, Ride X, right? Oh, okay, so this ride, we really want to do this. Oh, this ride's down to 20 minutes. Let's jump there. And then, like, you've got to piece it together. Anyway, I think Sal's doing well. But just to complete my thought, the Outsiders is on Broadway.
Yes.
You see that?
No, I haven't seen it.
I know you haven't seen
Broadway,
but have
yes,
you seen the ad?
I did.
I think I might go see that.
There's certain things I'd like to go see. I think that's one of them.
Yeah.
That and Back to the Future.
Ah, nah, it never did it for me. I know. It just never did it for me at all.
You're like the king of 80s and you don't like Back to the Future?
It's a massive contradiction.
What is wrong with you?
I never liked it.
You were a Pretty in Pink type of guy. That's right.
No, Pretty in Pink. I love who's the...
Breakfast Club?
Yo, I love Breakfast, but who's the guy
Ferris that... Bueller?
No, stop. It's not the director. Not movies. Stop throwing movies
Steven
at me.
Steven Spielberg.
What?
Steven
no,
Spielberg?
The guy who did... You're a clown. The guy who did the 80s movies, all those like romantic comedies and that genre. He did whatever his name.
Leguizamo.
No, I liked some of those. I didn't love 16 Candles or Sweet 16. No, I didn't love that. Oh, but Breakfast Club, oh my God. I mean, I could watch that on loop. Stupid, worthless, no good, godly, freeloader. John Hughes, thank you. There you go. You see, this is what you get when you spill paint in the garage. Do I stutter? Anyway. All right. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Yeah, see, he didn't really answer the question. Do you think Dominguez is going to be a butcher out there? Yes or no?
Yes, he's going to be terrible.
No, he's not going to be terrible. Stop with the Met hate. Come on. We're the Yankee hate.
He looks like Aaron Hicks. That's my quote. I'm sticking to it.
Big team sound on the Fans, 1247 here on this Monday, and it's not a quiet Monday. We got a lot of Nick issues. Mets might have, we'll get back to this in a second, might have a big issue with Sean Manaea. Johnny's right now have zero issues, and the Yankees could have an issue with Dominguez in left. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Sal is out, down to Disney. All right, so the Manaea stuff, you know, and when it broke, I didn't think it was a big deal, and I don't want to make it more than it is. It's an oblique, but how, as we know, obliques have derailed many seasons. I think the problem for the Mets out of the chute here is that I didn't. Now, listen, if you love the rotation going into the season, then you're fine with this, but then you won't think that it's as problematic as I do. I did not love the Mets rotation coming into the season. Like, assuming that it was just Manaea and Senga and Peterson and Holmes and Montas and then either Blackburn or whomever at six. What was that guy's name? Channing? Who was that, right? Channing?
Griffin Canning.
Canning. Griffin Canning. One of those guys. You know, it seemed like a stretch to go to six. Although I understood why they were doing it, because you want to make sure you've got Senga for October. And, you know, 23, 24, 25 starts by Senga rather than 32, 33, or chasing 32, 33 starts might serve the Mets better big picture. So I have no problem with that. But now when you just start, you know, lopping off some of these players that you guys were counting on, Montas is out a while. I think Mania is going to be out for a while. Before I actually get a little bit more into Mania, let's hear from Mania earlier today down in Florida.
When did this pop up for you, Sean, and how has it evolved since then?
A couple weeks ago, pretty much at the very beginning of camp. And yeah, it kind of never really, nothing really got any better. It didn't really get worse. It just kind of plateaued. And yeah, I think the worst part is that it just never got any better over the last couple weeks. So, you know, I've been throwing, been pitching, and, you know, recovery hasn't really been the greatest in between. And so that was kind of, you know, why we, you know, said something. So.
Something you felt when you got here, or were you feeling it even before in your throwing sessions before you got here?
Right when I got here. You know, nothing like grabbed or anything like that. Just, you know, I was sore and I was like, okay, that's interesting. And then just never really got any better from there.
Have you dealt with these before? Is this something, or is this a new thing?
Oblique, very new thing for me. I've never had anything like that this before.
All right, let me just throw out a little theory as to maybe why this happened. Now, if you think about what was definitely a real radical switch in delivery midseason, I don't think it's that dissimilar to, you know, really changing a golf swing middle of the summer. And just calling on parts of the body that aren't quite as active and don't fire as much as other parts of the body. I don't know. I mean, is there something to that? You know, when you're throwing one way and everything's, even though the results weren't amazing the old way, early on with the Mets, and they became basically like Cy Young results when he changed things up. When you completely transform how you throw a baseball after years of repetitively doing it the same way instinctually, well, now you're just calling on some muscles, some ligaments, some tendons, joints, you know, other things to do some things that they kind of could just go along for the ride with over time. And I don't know. Maybe that has nothing to do with it. That's the first thing I think about, you know. But the issue now is that the Mets are going to start the season without their ace. I think without their unquestioned ace. And I don't think they've got a lot of wiggle room without him. I don't think they have a lot of wiggle room with him. You know, I've said this with Sal. I look at the Mets, and I know the Mets have a good offense, and I do think the Mets will be a wild card team. Right now, I don't, myself, I don't look at the Mets as the team to beat in the division, and I definitely don't think they're the team to beat. You know, it's the Dodgers. I mean, everybody thinks that if they stay healthy in the National League here. So if I didn't love their margin for error with Mania, and, I mean, I didn't like the Montas signing at all, so that really meant nothing to me. But, you know, I've got to readjust this a bit now. And I think the danger is you don't want to overreact, but what if somebody else has maybe a more debilitating injury in camp and they say, all right, guess what? Hey, we got to go out and we got to go get Dylan Cease before the Mets do, before somebody else does, right? Well, you don't want to be in a situation where, and it would take a lot for this to happen. And I this would surprise me, you know, with the additional wild card spot and the Mets offense. Like, I mean, it would be basically an implosion for the Mets to be buried by June 1 or July 1. Like, that's not happening. But, you know, you could put yourself in enough of a position without Mania where It's a tall order, and you're scrapping and you're scraping for that, you know, that second or third wild card the whole summer. And yeah, I don't know how advantageous is that. So you got to weigh the merits. I mean, Hoff, do you think the Mets should make a move here?
I mean, as far as grabbing a free agent, maybe. I mean, there's a couple out there. I'm not saying go out and make a major trade right now. I think the free agency is like the last ditch effort if you really want to try to improve. I mean, again, if Mania is going to be out for months, yeah, that's going to be an issue. But I think if you can get by with 1 month, I think you can live with getting somebody off the scrap heap.
I think that's pretty sensible, and just try to out hit your way or hit your way to some wins early. I think the Mets bullpen will be fine, certainly better than a year ago. So do you think that if I said, all right, Hoff, you know, it's almost March here, I'm going to write down on a piece of paper, Mania returns without question by let's see, on the shelf for 3 weeks. That gets us up to about St. Paddy's Day. He's got to ratchet back up, get throwing, provided there's no setbacks. Sean Manaea is on a mound in the bigs, May 15th. You going over under?
I think I'm going over on that.
Meaning, like, past May 15th.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too.
The pessimistic Met fan in me says over.
I get it. We all have our own demons with our own teams. Jets quarterbacks, yeah. Mets. I got you. But I don't think that's pessimistic. I think that's practical. He's not going to throw for a while. And the thing about Manaea, I guess maybe this might actually be a good thing down the road. It's not like he's built up the arm strength where this happens, like, a week before. Like, he's probably at about 65-ish% of arm strength now in preparation for the season. And the 65 is going to go back down. He's not touching a baseball. So 65 literally is going back down to zero. And then you got to get it from zero, you know, not to 65. Now you got to get it up to 90-ish or so. So I think it's going to take a while. I don't think you're being pessimistic. I think you're being realistic.
And I got to be honest, like, I'm overthinking things now. Like, in the past few years, the Mets have gotten lucky as, like, Senga gets hurt, like, a day before the regular season starts. DeGrom. Scherzer, Verlander, all those guys. They get hurt before the season starts. So now it's like, we're getting it in spring training. This is good. We can recover. But, like, if we don't really do anything and then we get one more of those, like, oh, by the way, Clay Holmes goes down the day before the regular season starts.
Dude.
Then
you've got a big – let's hope that doesn't happen. If that's the case, you got a big issue. Yeah, even the Scherzer stuff, you're right. McGill pitched opening day that year, right? That was McGill stepped in.
I think it was – Verlander who went on the IL?
Or I thought it was Scherzer who went.
It might have
missed the first start.
They were always hurt. It really was terrible.
All right, listen, let's come back and let's just crank out the phones. Got a lot of things to hit. The Manaea stuff, should the Mets make a move? The Knicks are a mess. Knicks are winning nothing this year. Dominguez in left field, St. John's, the rankings coming out in a couple of minutes. Where do the Johnnies stand in the latest AP Top 25? Mike Hoff, would you like to take a guess? You see, even Hoff, he's not even watching. Like, he's not in on the Johnnies. So I hesitate to ask. Oh, he's in on the Johnnies if his buddy BT gets some tickets to sit on the floor with Sal. You know, then he's good. Did you watch a second of the UConn St. John's game?
No, but I asked you the same thing. Did you watch any of the UFC fights? And you said no.
No, but we're not talking about the UFC.
Oh, I know, but like you, but listen.
You have your thing, I have my thing, is what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough. But give me a guess. They're 10 now in the coach in the AP. Where do you think they are in about 6 minutes?
Six.
Possible. I don't. Something five? No. I think it's six or seven or eight. I'm going to say seven. Hop's going six. Dominguez in the outfield. We are absolutely flushed with calls. We'll get to you next. BT and Sal on the Fan.